All right, let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to do a little bit of review of last week, but I also want to point some new things out to you today. Today, if you're taking notes, and I trust that you are, I hope you are, because you remember more of what you write down. Today's sermon title is called this: God is not looking for perfect people, just passionate people. Now, don't get me wrong, God calls us to be perfect. Jesus once said, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. But the main thing he's looking for is people that are passionate for him. He loved David, because let me tell you why David was so awesome. Because David was passionate, with all his mistakes, David was passionate for Jesus Christ. He was passionate for God. And so as we're doing this series, that we started last week in preparing for the wedding feast, in preparing for the second coming. You know, my oldest daughter got married last Sunday, and working up to that wedding, there was so much preparing that we needed to do to prepare. And as senior pastor of this church, I sense very strongly, and it's not me alone, it's Pastor George and so many others that are seeing and believing and sensing that Jesus Christ is going to come back soon. And so I want you all to be prepared. How many know not everybody made it into the ark? But how many know God would have been open to anybody who wanted to go into the ark to come into the ark? Well, why didn't they come in? Because they didn't care about the things of God. I love you all. I'm glad you're at church. Church is a great indication that you love God. But how many know there's going to be some? You know what? There was 10 virgins, and 5 of them were prepared, and 5 of them weren't prepared. Well, listen to me. This is very important. Those who prepared, God took. Those who were not prepared, God didn't take. Amen? Doesn't say anything about going to church. Now, don't get me wrong. When you listen to those crazy Christians, some may say crazy Christians. Listen to me. I'm not even sure that they're saved. Well, you shouldn't judge. I'm not judging. If I was judging, I'd say they're not saved. I'm saying I don't know that they're saved or not. You know, I don't believe. I believe what we're going to read in a minute, that you can tell the fruit by its tree. And people who don't love to hang out with the body of Christ, I don't even get that, to be honest with you. I think it's just a con. Well, you don't have to go to church. You love. Yeah, whatever. I think it's a con. Yeah, but at church, there's a bunch of hypocrites. We call the... Listen, how many came to church to get better? You can call that what it... You can call us whatever you want to call us. But I want to hang out with you. You know, imperfect people. Desiring to get better. Amen? You know, if you're looking for a perfect church, if you are going to wait for a perfect church before you go, you're never going to go to church. Do you understand? Because there is no perfect church, right? But God is looking for passionate people. I say, God is looking for passionate people. Okay? Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor's going to lay it on us today. And listen, man, I'm trying to think of some adjectives. This crazy, ridiculous excuse that you don't have to be passionate because you're a guy. You're too cool. You know what? Guys, it'll mess up your hair. You're not a good dancer. You know, that's just not how. You know what? For many of you, you were raised in a Catholic. How many were raised Catholic? Raise your hand if you were raised Catholic. Okay? How many know you're not in a Catholic church anymore? I said, how many know you're not in a Catholic church anymore? Amen. See, get, you know what? Let old things die. Amen. How many of you, Pastor, you don't like Catholics? I love Catholics. I love Catholic people. Amen. How many of you went to Catholic church and you hated it? Raise your hand real high. You hated it. Why? Because it was dead. There was no life in it. Amen. Don't bring your deadness here. Don't bring that deadness here. Amen. Amen. Don't bring it here. Don't bring that tradition, that crazy, ungodly, unpassionate. Here. I love you guys. You know why you hated the Catholic Church, most of you? Because a bunch of people are going and there's no passion in the church. You know, bunch of kneeling, standing. Am I telling the truth? Amen? No passion. No passion. We had this cable, and it had a Catholic programming on it, a Catholic channel. And I remember watching it, and there was a lady. I don't know what she was. She was over these other nuns, and she was like, and then they were like, ba 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 ba. And then she was like, ba 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 ba. And I watched it and I thought, oh my goodness, these people are crazy. These people are crazy. Jesus Christ is coming back. I believe he's coming back very soon. And I believe whatever excuse you've had, including it's not your personality type. Listen, I can show you. I saw a video, I don't know, about 3 years ago. And it was me when I was 19 years old. Had long blonde hair and bleached blonde hair. And I was like, oh, man, dude, you are so mellow. Just mellow, dude. Here's the thing. To some extent, my personality type hasn't changed. How in the world could you do all that crazy dancing you did if your personality type hadn't changed? Here's why. Because I don't let my personality type dictate who I am. Can you say amen? And I'm proud of every single one of you for showing up today. But let me tell you what church I see. I see a church that people come in not ready to allow me to pump them up. But they come in already pumped. Amen. And we come in and Pastor Isaac, we play notes, and that note is just like fire to gasoline. All those notes do, all that praise does is just explode the church. Does that make sense? So all these people who are on fire come to the church. All these people on fire, passionate for the things of God, come. And all the worshipers do up here is just light the thing and then watch it go boom. Amen. Can you say amen to this? Amen. Have you found your place in Matthew? Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 3. Enter by the, what kind of gate is this? Look at your neighbor, say, this is a narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Come on, how many here? Help me preach this. If you don't, listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have the words here on the screen. Help me out. Broad is the way that leads to what? Broad. Say broad. Many are those who go by the way of destruction. Say, yeah, but this is difficult. Well, let's keep on reading. And there are many who go by that way, by it. There are so many now that are going to call you names for believing that the only proper sex is between a man and a woman that are married. They're going to call you names. They're not going to say you're out of touch. They're going to say that, but they're going to call you immoral. Well, why might it be smart not to listen to those people? Because don't be deceived. Can you take fire in your bosom and not be burned? This kind of behavior is going to burn them. Amen. Well, you shouldn't say that. No, we should say this. Why? Because we're the church. We're the proclaimers of the truth. Amen. When the pastors are too scared to speak up and tell people the truth, what's going to happen to our nation? That's what's happening. People are too scared to stand up and say, hey, we should be able, we're America. We should be able to speak up and not feel fear of being imprisoned. You know what? We should be able to dictate what is good for our kids, what is healthy for our kids, and not feel, you know what, that our kids are going to be taken away from us. Amen? There's a way that is broad, and that broad is leading to destruction. That means a lot of people are doing that. Just because you feel a lot of people are doing that, the majority is usually wrong. Verse 14, because, what's that next word? Come on, everybody, what's that next word? Because narrow is the gate, and what's that next word? Oh, Pastor, don't talk about difficult. No, difficult to what? Difficult to your flesh, not difficult to your spirit. The commandments of God are not burdensome. It doesn't mean that sometimes the commandments of God, your flesh won't rebel. Paul said, I beat my flesh. There's sometimes you gotta, you know what? Tell your flesh what to do, not allow your flesh to tell you what to do. Amen? And you need to not just desire what's easy. What I found is usually what's easy is usually not productive and not helpful. How many saw the top on the barbecue area? Thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of steel. On Wednesday, were on the asphalt doing nobody any good. So, you know what? Thursday, I woke up early. I said, hey, I've had enough of this. You know what? I went over there and I picked up that steel. I got on a ladder. I climbed on that ladder, held it with one hand, bolted it with the other. One down, eight to go. And I walked back and I picked up Pastor George. And I picked that other steel, went to the other side. How many know that didn't happen? Okay. How many know I didn't, you know, twinkle my nose, pink, 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 and all of a sudden it was all up there. Right? No, let me tell you what happened. Someone, Edgar, George, first George, went down, picked up a forklift. George picked up the forklift, brought it over here, dropped it off. Edgar designed a whole wooden thing because it had to be on the right angle, connected that all up with Josh. You know what? By the time I came here, there was one already up. Thank you, Jesus. And it was up, and one was up. And then in about 2 hours, the other was up. And this wasn't an easy thing to do, because when they went on the grass, though that forklift weighs, I don't know, probably a couple of tons. When they went on the grass isn't even, they got the thing, and then they go like that. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, right? Right, Cody? Right? It's not easy. And we didn't throw our hands up in the air and say, well, we're just not doing it. It was, somebody say difficult. Difficult. Somebody say difficult. Difficult. But you're gonna be over there eating carne asada. You know what? I don't know, you know, whoever we have do the barbecue, they're going to be barbecuing there. You know what? And they're going to be spritzing themselves with some water in the shade. Can you say hallelujah? And when you eat your burger or carne asada or whatever you make, you're not going to crunch down on leaves from the top of the, amen? And have you seen how beautiful it looks over there? Oh, it's gorgeous. You know, somebody said, man, I feel like I'm in like Disneyland. I'm like, no, this is better than Disneyland, amen? Can you say amen to this? Amen. So difficult is the way which leads. The way which leads to what? Life. See, oh, let's connect those dots. Say difficult. Life. Difficult for your flesh. Listen, if all you do is what your flesh tells you to do, that is a way. But that way leads to destruction. The difficult way leads to life. Wow. See, we don't make that correlation. We say, if it's hard, I don't want to do it. Like prayer. Let me say like prayer. Prayer, it's difficult to get up early. But after a while, you recognize that's the best part of your day. See, that difficult leads to life. Amen. Let me teach you something. The more God you have in your life, the better your life is going to be. Some here, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but listen to me. Some of you, if you don't go through the difficult, you never get to the life. For some of you here today, I'll just nail it. I said, Pastor, who are you talking to? I'm talking to you, Jackson, if this applies to you. The reason your life is so cattywampus, is so out of order, so jacked up, is because you spend almost no time praying to God, and sometimes you won't even thank God for your food. Am I the only one who's, you know what, got the burger halfway down before I remember to thank God for the burger? Amen. Listen, and if that's what you do, hey, join me. But if you have a time in the morning where you're spending 15 minutes with your phone not near you, with your before the kids get up, you know what? Then you are going to have a good life. And your flesh aren't going to go, ooh, whoop-de-doo, let's get up and pray. Amen? But in a course of time, and I'm not teaching on prayer right now, but in a course of time, there will be a day that you wake up and you don't want to stay in bed. Right? The best part of waking up is hanging out with Jesus. Some of you don't know that song, but you could know that song if you would get through the difficult part. Because if you get through the difficult, then you'll train your flesh. Flesh, the Bible says in Romans, is trainable. Chapter 7, last verse. It is trainable. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. See, that terminology freaks us out. It's like, I think there's a misprint. No, difficult leads to life. Difficult in the flesh leads to life. Easiness in your flesh. Here, just do what your flesh wants. Amen. You'll get somebody pregnant that you don't even love. You'll have kids out of wedlock. You'll smoke things that you don't shouldn't smoke. You'll drink things you shouldn't drink. You'll sit yourself, you'll go, I don't know why I always date these losers. I know why. Because you hook up with these losers in the honky-tonk. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. No, of course you know why. Is this making sense to anybody? I said, is this making sense to anybody? Beware. Now we'll notice this. Notice, because this all connects. Then he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Later on, he's going to talk about these people who've got sheep clothing on in the outside, but the inside there, right? Watch. Verse 16. You will know them by their fruit. How do you know somebody by? Their fruit. By what they say? By what they say or by what they grow? What's growing? Growing is your behavior, your actions, your character. Not by what you say, but by you grow. You know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Excuse me. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit and bad tree bears bad fruit. This is not rocket science. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Now connect this all together. Watch this. Every tree, say every tree. Say every tree. Okay, now all eyes up here. You know what every tree means? God is talking to you. You know what every tree means? You are not the exception. Say, I'm not the exception. That does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You can pretend that Jesus didn't say that. That's what Jesus said. Every tree. Say, every tree. When Tamara was out in the hot sun, how many know it's going to be a warm day today? But how many of you got up today early in the morning? It was nice. Was it nice? 64 degrees in the morning. Man, it was nice. Tamara gets up early in the morning, goes out there. She's starting to pick weeds. Why? Because she is about, Jesus said this, I work, my Father works and I work. Her father was working, so she was working. I mean, no, we need to be obedient to do what God asked us to do. Somebody say, we only have a little bit of time. So she's out there, she's working. Say, she's working. And then it got, what did it get? Yeah, it got hot. What D word did it get? We looked at it here. Difficult. Somebody say difficult. Who said difficult? Oh, you're paying attention. Thank you. If I had a Snickers, I'd give you a Snickers. Okay. Somebody say difficult. It got difficult. and her flesh. How many ever let your flesh talk to you? How many know your flesh talks to you all the time? And her flesh talked to her and said, you know what? You don't have to do this. Get your Jackson up and start walking away. Amen? And what did you say, Tamara? How did you say it? Yeah, what'd you say to yourself? I'm tired of doing this. Anything else? I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to do this. I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to do this. How do you like my Tamara impression? I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to do this. One more time. I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to do this. Okay, watch this. And then what did the Holy Spirit say to her? Who asked you? How many appreciate God's honesty with us? Who asked you? Amen. Who told you who told you could wear that skirt that short? Who told you could do that? Who told you could give, you know what, your neighbor a piece of your mind? Who told you could do that? Amen? Who told you could spend all your money on yourself? Who told you could do that? Are you a Christian? Are you saved or are you not saved? Who told you could have sex with that lady or that guy? Who told you that? Who told you could stop picking weeds? And she had a revelation that so many of us have, it has helped. The Bible says we don't belong to ourselves. Here, let me ask you this. How come the Holy Spirit could tell Tamara that? Here's why. Because she was passionate for the things of God. Amen. See, what kind of, are you passionate? You know what? Who are you? When your person who's helping you work out says, give me four more, who are you? Are you the one who says, four more? Get your mama to do four more. I ain't doing that. Amen. Right? Is that what you do? Does Edgar say, are you kidding me? Put all that stuff up there? You know, how am I supposed to, you know, like, I don't got better things to do than spend this whole time figuring some, building something to figure it out? Come on here and, man, See, we all, but listen, that's why we really need to examine yourself and see. Here's what the Bible says. If you, oh my goodness. Somebody say, if you. If you are in the faith. You know, that's what the Bible says. When Tamara turns around and goes back to pick up the weeds, to continue to pick up the weeds. How many know that's proof that she's in the faith? Why? Because it's fruit. Somebody says it's fruit. And we spent a long time last week talking about, it's not about your talk, it's about your walk. Amen? Yeah. Not about your talk, it's about your walk. What verse was I on? 19, thank you. Every tree, oh yeah, thank you. Every tree, somebody say every tree. That does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Therefore, by the fruit you will know them. Not everyone, and by your fruit you'll know you. How many know some of y'all are really good examiners of other people's fruit? Whoa, Jackson. How many know God tells you, first look at your own fruit? Amen? Not everyone who says to me, then he says this. connect the dots. Then he says, after he said all that, not everyone that, what? Says. See, we didn't have time to connect all the dots here. But he's talking about fruit, then he says, says. See, these people aren't, these people are like, eh, I'm an orange tree. Where's the oranges? I'm an orange tree. No, you're not. No, you're not. And when Christ comes back, he's going to say, you're not an orange tree. Now is not the time. Then is not the time to figure it out. Say, now is the time to figure it out. Listen to me. I'm not only speaking to you. If you're not saved today, get saved. If you're not passionate today, get passionate. If you're way too cool cat, I show up when I show up. I do what I want to do. I spend what I want to spend. You know what? Get out of my face, Pastor. I ain't in your face. I'm preaching the gospel. This is God speaking a word that can change your life forever. Amen. But there will be a day then every single one of us will stand before God. And in that day, God doesn't care what you say you are. And he's saying this. He just gets done talking about these trees. And then the next thing he says is, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. Shall enter the kingdom of God. Listen, this isn't about, oh, I'm going to be on some certain level. I don't, you know, some people are like, oh, as long as I make it, I don't care to heaven. I don't care if I make it the outer level. This isn't what he's saying. He's saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about entering the kingdom of heaven. I talked to some, true story, talked to someone, they're in some leadership degree at their church, and that church has decided that whoever you want to have sex with, as long as you're, I find this ironic, as long as you're monogamous, that's the moral thing, as long as you're monogamous, but whoever you want to have sex with, you can have sex with. And who are we to say that you can't? We've made a decision as a church that some of our pastors believe that sex is between, godly sex is between a man and a woman that are committed in marriage, and other pastors just believe it can be with anyone as long as you're committed. And we have pastors who believe this and pastors who believe that. And we are not going to tell the congregation what to believe. True story. When I brought up, I said, well, what about the scripture in Matthew when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. True story. Here's what this person said to me. Well, what is the kingdom of God? Here. I was like, okay, I'm done talking. Listen, and here's what I want to point out to us, that God's not talking about being on some outer court, inner court, you made it in just barely. He's not talking about that. He's talking about people who are saying, what's Lord mean? You are the one who directs my path. You are the one who is in control of my life. That's what Lord means. It means you are in charge. I do what you tell me to do. That's what Jesus did. Whatever the Father told him to do, that's what he did. That's Christianity 101. So Jesus is saying, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I tell you to do? But the indication isn't what you say. And he's just got done saying the proof is in the fruit. The fruit is your character. The fruit is your behavior. The fruit is not that God is looking for perfect people, but God is looking for passionate people. Because let me tell you what, passionate people will give up things for God. Passionate people, listen, amen, amen. Passionate people recognize that God's commandments are not burdensome. Passionate people. George, great example. Other people, they're not passionate about God. Listen. Here, let me throw this to your consideration. I would consider this, that when they picked the 12 apostles, I'm not going to die on this hill, so if you theologically don't agree with me, it's okay. But when they picked, when Judas Iscariot blew it, okay, now they only have 11. They cast lots for number 12. That is not New Testament direction from God. New Testament direction from God is to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Those of you crazy Christians who put fleeces out, that is Old Testament, that is so by the flesh, it's not of the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Well, if God doesn't want me to date, you know what? She'll call me and tell me I'm busy tonight. Oh, God help you. Amen. That is not how you should pick who you date and who you shouldn't date. Okay? That's how they picked the next apostle. Maybe not a good way. How many know in the Word of God is not only what they did right, but what they did wrong? I'm just for your consideration. Jesus said the same thing to the rich young ruler as he said to Peter and John. Give up what you have and follow me. Could it be that that was the preparation for the 12th apostle? You say, oh, I don't want to agree with you. I don't care if you agree with me or not. That's not my point. Here is my point. John and Peter were passionate for God. And he wasn't. Doing all these rules, but not passionate for God. Are you following me? And what I'm saying is, these people that are saying one thing and doing another, they're not passionate for God, and they won't even enter the kingdom of God. And let me tell you what. If that's you, it won't be on my watch. If that's you, it won't be on my watch. What do I mean? Actually, I can't force you to change, but I'll sit before God and say, God, second sermon, preparing for your coming. Remember that one? And they all heard it. And I showed it to them. I didn't just tell them, I showed them on the screen. Does that make sense? And I reminded them, this is Jesus talking. And I pointed out, he's not saying, oh, you can't go to Disneyland today. You can't go to Knott's Berry Farm today. It's not what he's saying. He's saying they won't even enter the kingdom of God. Are you learning something here? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wondrous things in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Say, practice lawlessness. See, it's what you're doing repetitively. You're practicing it. You do it all the time. And the Holy Spirit has told you over and over and over again, stop it. And you just say, no, that's who I am. I'm going to continue to talk this way. I'm going to continue to act this way. I'm going to continue to behave this way. And God allows us to continue to act that way if we want. But there's a time when who you are is going to be what determines where you live. Pay attention. Who you are is going to determine where you live. For eternity where you live. For eternity where you live. Now, here's what I want to catch. I want to catch this. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We talked about that. But here's what I want you to catch that I just started to catch recently. He says this. No. Go back. Okay. Then I will declare to them, I never what? I never knew you. And I never saw that till recently. I always knew it was there, but I never saw it. Here's what God is looking for. God is looking for people that are passionate to him like he's passionate to us. Bible says an unequal balance is an abomination to the Lord. That he would give us everything and that we would give him some things, or we would withhold him, that he would not withhold anything from us, but we withhold things from him, is not the kind of relationship God is looking for. And to those people, he says, I don't know. Listen, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Now, let me prove it to you. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Have it here on the screen. This is Jesus talking again. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. But here's what I want you to catch. He says, freely you have received, freely give. I want you to catch this. Somebody say, freely you have received, freely give. Watch this. Freely you received, how many received from God? How many didn't it cost you anything? Okay. I want you to give back to me in the same way that I give to you. I never saw it till just recently. When I saw it, Jesus said, how I measure it out, that's how I want it to be measured back to me. Where did you find that? Right here, where he says, freely you have received, now I want you to freely give. In other words, he's saying, you give to me the way I give to you. You see that freely? Then you see that other freely? See, this is an equal. He wants you to give to him the way he gives to you. How does God give to us? I quoted it. He gives to us liberally without reproach. But sometimes, because we talked about it as I was encouraging you to dance, because of how we were raised, our personality types, we don't want to mess up our hair. We're caring about what other people think. Listen, David danced before the Lord. And he took off his robe of royalty, the robe that he was the king. Kings wore certain colors. They had certain robes that nobody else could wear. You'd be executed if you wore the same kind of things that David wore, because that was honor and that was only for him. He took that robe and he took it off and laid it aside to dance to the king. I believe David is saying, there is no other king except you. You are the king above kings. See, there needs to be this passionate for God the way he's passionate to us. Now listen to me. You say, Pastor, I can't be passionate the way that God's passionate to me. Sometimes we have to question our craziness. Who said that? Who said that? I did. I just said it now. We can't. Exactly. You said it. God said, see, sometimes I catch you with your belt off. Come on. Sometimes I catch you with your belt off. Amen. Yeah, you better watch it, man. You're going to lose your drawers in a minute. Amen. But there's something more critical than losing our drawers. You don't have the belt of truth on, you're going to get jacked up. See, you came up with that. Well, I can't be passionate for God like he's passionate for me. Who said that? I did. Exactly, you did. Let me tell you what the belt of truth says, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. That's what the belt of truth says. Are you kidding me? You have some crazy, awesome examples. One I just gave you, David. David didn't care. And let me just warn you. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, Pastor's going to warn us. Guys, you know what? I heard Dad Hagen say one time, I wish I could just open up your head and just shove the knowledge in you and close it back up again. Okay. I can't do that. You have to receive this. But please listen to my warning. The days of you allowing your circumstances, your care, your how you were raised, how you think you are, the days of being too cool for Christ need to be over in this church. And for many of you, you have learned that's what the crazy Pentecostals do. That's what the crazy Pastor Drew's a pastor, and Daniel's a little off anyway. So those two, well, that's what we think sometimes. That's their personality type. Well, listen, I need to follow Christ. I need to follow Christ like Daniel's following Christ. And you need to follow Christ like Daniel's following Christ. Today, Daniel was an example to many of us to dance before the Lord. Let me say it again. Men, if you're a man, say, I'm here. Men, I love you. I love you. I need to be strong. Stop it. Stop allowing your manly, macho, oh my goodness. I don't know how else to say it. It's just a bunch of blah. And you need to lay it down, just like Tamar laid down her flesh. One time, one of my favorite preachers, his name's Mark Hankins. Oh, I love this guy. Mark Hankins, he's kind of a twangy guy. And he's out in his barn, getting something in his barn. And he feels like the Holy Spirit says, I want you to start to worship me. So it's like, oh yeah, I'll worship the Lord. You know, I worship you, Almighty God. I don't know if you sang this song, this just came to my heart. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise. I don't know if it was right about then, but the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to dance before me. Pastor Mark's like, there's no music. How many know sometimes God just is pushing you? How many of you will be pushed out of you making you Lord and allow God to be your Lord? How come you call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do what I ask you to do? Lord means I'll do whatever you tell me to do. That's what it literally means. You are the one who tells me what to do. But then Christ asks us what to do, tells us what to do, and they're like, I ain't doing that. Why do you keep on calling me Lord? And God asked Mark, how many believe God still speaks to people? God speaks to, that's God spoke to Tamar and said, who asked you? That's a great question. Who asked you? See, the problem is in many of our lives, we make ourselves, we are the Lord. We tell ourselves what to do. And Christ can't override that. He's like, why do you call me Lord? Why don't you call yourself Lord? Why don't you get up, brush your teeth? Oh, Lord Drew. I only do what he tells me to do. No, I love you enough. That's just not Christianity. And many will say to me, say many. Many will say to me in that day, and I will say to them, here, let me paraphrase. I will say to them, you did what you wanted to do. You wouldn't do what I told you to do. You know what he calls that? Lawlessness. Why? Because there's one lawgiver. And he says, that's what it is. You're lawless. You don't do what I tell you to do. You just do what you tell you. And as soon as it, you have this form of godliness. But the power is in the obedience of God. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. The power, but you deny the power. You are willing to tell me, no, I will not reconcile with my husband. No, I will not give that amount of money. No, I will not come and put those steel things up. Or whatever else you come up with, no. No, I will not serve. No, no, no. Oh, yes. That one I will do because I like to do that. I'm just telling you, that's not Christianity. That is not Christianity. Well, I can't be passionate the way God is passionate to me. Oh, yes, you can. I said, oh, yes, you can. Every single one of you can dance before the Lord like I dance today. Every single one of you can dance that way. Every single one of you can dance like Daniel danced before the Lord. Every single one of you. Yeah, but I'm how old are you? I'm not picking on you, but I'm glad you're here. How old are you?
14.
Dude, I'm just 14. Okay. And I'm not picking on him because, here, let me. I got my own business. Right? I don't have to do that. That's crazy, Pastor. Crazy Daniel. Those guys are crazy. Right? 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 Can I come sit next to you today? Right? I'm just saying. And I don't know who is dancing before the Lord or not. You said, Pastor, I don't think you should, you know, I don't think you should, you know, confront us like that. Listen, you're going to be confronted with your action at some day. You are going to be confronted with your unwillingness to do what God is asking you to do. You know, the Bible says at the end day, he's going to pull out the book of life, but he's going to pull out books, the Bible says, Revelation, books. I fully believe the books are records of how we acted. I am looking to build, I'm not looking to build a big church. I'm looking to build big people. I'm looking to build people that don't care, that are willing to, listen, I've told the leadership. Here, elders, let me tell you what. Elders, you ought to be the first one dancing with me. If the shoe fits, wear it. If the shoe don't fit, and it's okay. You don't have to. Amen? I've taught the leadership. If I say, hey, if it's testimony, I say, hey, I want a testimony. I expect all the pastors to jump up here right away. Why? You're a pastor in this church, and you don't got a testimony of what Christ has done in your life? I need help. To quote a wonderful pastor in this church, where's my backup? Shayla said that one time in a water fight, you know what I mean? Where's my backup? Where's the passion for the things of God? Listen, the apostles left everything they had on that shore to follow Jesus Christ. Everything they had. When the rich young ruler, when Jesus had that confrontation with the rich young ruler, all the apostles were there. You know what the apostles said next? When Jesus said, it's hard for those who have a lot of wealth to enter the kingdom of God. You know what the apostles said? They said, Lord, how are we going to get into the kingdom of God? Here's what they said. We've given up everything for you. We've given up everything for you. Philippians chapter 3. Go to it. Just wait a little bit. Philippians chapter 3. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 7 and 8. You have examples of people that weren't Jesus who are passionate for God. But what things were gained to me, these things I count loss for Christ. This is Paul's example. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, because my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of what? Of all things. Here's what I want you to catch. And count them as what? Why? Let me tell you why. Because Paul's example is to go, oh my goodness, all that stuff was a bunch of junk compared to my love for Christ. When Christ gives me what he gives me, when I'm obedient to him and I get his relationship and his fellowship and all this stuff he gives me, oh my goodness, that was rubbish. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Josh was, this week, Josh was up there helping Edgar put these bolts in. Okay? I told Josh the day after, I said, Josh, every single time you walk by and see that beam there, here's what you're going to know. I put that beam up. Listen to me. The rubbish that we keep for the gold that God wants to give us is crazy. And I'm speaking to every single one of you today, and I'm saying, let go of the rubbish. Remember Linus? Linus, I love the example because he's holding to this stinky blanket. Stinky blanket. The monkey who who is caught. You know why he's caught? They put a peanut or something that the monkey wants in a jar, and the jar has a small opening. The monkey is able to get the hand through the jar and grab the peanut. The monkey, seeing the human coming to catch the monkey, is going to be caught. You know why he's going to be caught? Because he, and all he has to do, there's no guns at him, there's the only trap is that he won't let go of that silly little peanut. He's going to be captured for all his life. Satan comes but one thing, to steal, kill, and destroy. There's some things that he's captured. He's capturing your life. You're not flowing in the fullness that God has for you because you're not willing to be passionate for God. You say, Pastor, how do you get passionate? You hear a sermon like this, and first you judge yourself as not being passionate enough for God. You can't make a change till you recognize you need to change. Does that make sense? You ever been on the freeway? You're like going 90 miles an hour and you're not thinking, you're just starting. Have you ever done this? And you're like, and how many know you're not going to slow down? Why? Because you don't even know there's a problem. And then all of a sudden you look down, you're like, wee gods, I was going 90. Am I the only one? Like I'm going 90. You know what? Well, if you didn't slow down, you're going to be pulled over soon. Thank God you looked down. You thought, oh man, I got to slow down. That's this sermon pointing out you're way too cool cat for the things of God. And you need to get passionate. Where you spend your time? Where you spend your money? What are you listening to? These are all indications of your passion. So have a willingness to judge yourself. God is looking. He freely gave. He wants you to give passionately back to him. Just like he gave to you. That's what he's looking. He's not looking for you to come into church not prayed up. And thank God some of you are here. How many of you ever got to church and you barely made it? You know what I mean? What, you just barely made. God thanks you that you're here. Amen. Really, thank God you're here. But how many know what God is looking for is you to come in prayed up. Come in praised up. Come in ready to serve. Not serving all your hours. What'd you do last week? I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did this, I did this, then I did this, then I did this, then I did that, then I did this, then I did that, then I did this. Well, here's a thought. How about being directed? How many, I'm setting you up. Look at him say, he's setting us up. At least you know. How many believe your pastor is led by the Spirit? Raise your hand if you believe that. Listen to me. This, everybody give 2 hours, is systematic where I fully believe that is not a good idea. That is a God idea. Listen to me. That will change this dynamic of the church. But pastor, that would be, what's the word? Starts with a D. That would be difficult. I know. I tried to make it easy. I didn't say 4 hours. I said 2 hours. Right? No, I'm trying to make it easy for you. Amen? How many know you're not going to do 4 hours? How many know you can't do 4 hours if you don't do 2 hours? Come on, this is deep. How many know 2 comes before 4? Just do 2. And then if you want to do, well, you're just trying to get me to do 4. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to get you to do 2. But Ed couldn't put that together in 2 hours. Can you say amen? I'll tell you what, pastor, I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll pick weeds as long as it doesn't get hot. I'll give as long as it's not too much. I'll forgive as long as it's not that person. See, we come up with all this stuff. God says, no, 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 stop it. You are not in control. I should be, if you're a Christian, I should be in control. I should tell you what to do. You should stop telling me who you are. That's the sermon for today. Get passionate for the things of God. Stop, get the cool cat out. The cool cat needs to leave. The barely enough needs to leave. The just, listen, God says stuff like this. If you are not willing to give everything to me, you are not worthy of me. That's just Jesus. Paul says, we have learned a different gospel. And then he says, it's not a different gospel. Why does he say it's not a different gospel? Because let me explain to you what he's saying there. This is in Galatians. He's saying it's not different in that we talk about Jesus in our churches. So we're still talking about Jesus, but it's a perverted gospel because it's not the real gospel. The real gospel is he gave us everything. We need to give him everything. He was completely passionate for us, and we need to be completely passionate for him. Freely we have received, and freely God wants us to give. And this thought of God is going to be satisfied with whatever I give him, whatever little piddly stuff, because I compare myself to that other person who is even farther away from the kingdom, even farther away from God. God, listen, in judgment day, God, you can't sit before God and say, well, I did better than him. He only came to church twice a month. I came to church 4 times a month. God's not going to go, oh my goodness, I didn't know. We're comparing everybody to that guy. How many know you can find, everybody can find somebody who's worse than them? How many know we can find people who are not serving God, who are farther away from God than we are? They're not our example. God says, you do what I tell you to do, and you do exactly. You know what I read with the apostles? God commanding them, get in the boat. Ooh, God shouldn't talk to me that way.
and pastor shouldn't talk to me that way. 2 hours. He's telling me, every week, 2 hours, he says. You know what? When's he going to get off that? Here's when I'm going to get off it. Never. And let me tell you why. Because there are certain things that God is speaking to me to lead the church in this way. Trust me or not, it's up to you. Oh, is pastor led by God? Yeah. I don't do what he ever tells me to do, but he's led by God. Listen to me. I know if the majority of people will start to serve God 2 hours a day, you will see some things bust loose in your life. I'm not trying to be manipulative. I'm trying to tell you the truth. So make an arrangement in your schedule. I'm not asking you for waiting till two. I'm not, as soon as you get a week where you have 2 extra hours, give it to us. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this week, sign up. We'll have people in the information table. You know what? And just do it. Oh, and by the way, and do whatever else God tells you to do. Amen? Figure it out. Difficult. But difficult leads to what? Leads to what?
And by the way.
Leads to what?
Life.
You'll be like, you're going to serve 2 hours and you're going to say, pastor was right. Something broke in my life. Okay? And just so you know, that's not a 1 week. I'm not asking for 1 week. This is not a check off. This is a place that I'm trying to get you. Watch this. I know what the Holy Spirit is doing. I'm trying to get you to a place where you will start to serve God out of your schedule. And now, you don't have a schedule. You tweak your schedule according to what God says to do. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. And when you get there, there's going to be some stuff that busts loose. And you're going to come up. You know what? I'm going to get you the address. It's Whittier Boulevard, all the way down. Sees Candy. I think there's two of them, matter of fact. Okay. Come, no, I don't want your Sees Candy. I want your honor. I want you to honor me and start recognizing I'm hearing from God. And I need to do what is difficult. Praise the Lord. Okay. Honey, you are looking ravishing today.
Thank you. I just want to share something really quick as we've heard this today, and there's so many scriptures to back it up. Remember when he said books, and he said, I think it's going to be this. The Bible says that God, you don't give a glass of water to a small one that God doesn't write it down. Maybe that's one of the books. The Bible also says that every idle word that we speak, we're going to be held accountable for. Maybe they're writing those idle words in the book. I don't know what the books are. We know what one book is. The other books are left just saying books. But it's got to do with, dealing with us. We know that. I want to share something, just a little story of what happened when we first came to this church. And I found it so odd. You ever see the Scooby-Doo where he goes, home? Like that. That was me that day, but here's what happened. So we had been here, I think, for 2 years, and there was a lady in the church who had been here for at least probably 30 years, 35 years. And she said, we were all sitting at a meeting, and she stood up and she said, oh, Pastor Drew is just so wonderful. She said, every time we have an issue or a problem, and then we say, well, what about this? And then Pastor Drew says, well, let's see what the word says. Or, well, the Bible says this. Or, well, the Bible says that. And I remember sitting there, I mean, just scratching my head thinking, what? She was amazed and enthralled with Pastor Drew being so wise and wonderful that he always would say, he always just takes us to the Bible, or he'll always just quote the Bible. Does anyone else, does this like strike you as weird? Like, okay, you've been in the church 40 years and that's what you're impressed with? What have you been doing for 40 years? How are you a Christian that just isn't common, the first thing off the top of your head? It's because it's about lordship. Do you understand that? Lordship means the one who directs me. How can God direct me when I don't even know what he said about something? Isn't that weird? And so I don't know. To me that day, I was just like, whoa, what kind of Christianity is this? That you can be serving God, loving God, following God for 40 years, and it's like awing to you when someone comes along and says, well, let's see what the Bible says. Isn't that the basis of our Christianity? That's how we run our lives, but by knowing what God says about a situation and doing it. So for me, that was so odd that day that someone was in the church for so long and that was so shocking to them. If that's where you're at, let me just say this. He says so many times in the scripture, Jesus confronts them and he says, why do you call me Lord, but you do not obey me? Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I ask you to do? See, Jesus doesn't miss this lordship. Listen, when we become believers, here's what we do. We say, God, you know what? Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You can't just take him as your Savior and not have him as your Lord. You won't find that in the Bible. He becomes our Lord and Savior. So make sure that he's your Lord. That means that you don't get to make the decisions. I didn't make a decision to come to Pico Rivera. God made that decision. I just obeyed it. I didn't make a decision to pick the weeds. God made that decision. I just obeyed it. And I could go on and on and on. I didn't get to make the decision whether or not to homeschool my kids. God made that decision. I just had to obey it. And so on and so on and so forth. And that has to be, it's not an option. That has to be who we are as believers. That we're letting the Word of God decide how we conduct ourselves. If you talk about people all the time, they call that gossip or sowing seeds of discord. There's all kinds of things the Bible calls it. If that's you, it better become revelation to you today that that's not lordship and you need to stop it. Stop it, because it's not okay. And all kinds of other things, right? Honoring one another, forgiving each other. God just has a lot to say about everything. And it's not for us to hear and not do. We're supposed to hear it and do it. Let me give you one scripture, and then I'm going to let Pastor come back and close the service. I want you to just kind of take account. You had a great word today. Take account of what kind of a believer are you? What kind of a Christian are you? Are you giving God lordship? Because if you're not, it's a great time to be confronted with the reality that that's the only option that's in the Bible, because we're going to have to answer for it. Amen? This is in, and this is all over the Word of God, all over. You just can't get away from it. This is in Matthew 7:24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who builds his house on the rock. We hear, that's the come, hear, do that Luke talks about. That's how we become disciples. We come, we hear, and then we, yeah. You can't be a disciple just coming and hearing. You're not a follower of Christ just coming and hearing. It's come, hear, that's what it is. And so that's why it's on the wall in the sanctuary. It's who we are, here at Hope, the Word of God, listen to what it is, it's one of our pillars, is our final authority. So if you don't live your life that way, you need to make a change. I don't know what kind of Christianity has been taught to you, but that's not the Christianity of the Bible. Come here. That's Christianity. Amen. The Word of God is our final authority. That's how we let Him be our Lord. That's how we give Him lordship. We choose that. Amen. Amen.